Take your Bibles, John chapter 5 tonight. We're going to start in verse 31 and hopefully finish the chapter tonight. You remember this chapter started on a Sabbath day when Jesus was in, when Jesus went to the pool in Bethsaida and saw a man there. And again, it was in Jerusalem, in a pool called Bethsaida. There was a man there that had been lame for 38 years, and he was by that pool. And by the way, Georgette shared with me that her grandmother would go to that same pool, and the waters were stirred at different times. And your grandmother actually got down in the pool at one time, and healing was wrought. And so when the Bible talks about this pool in Bethsaida, here's a witness that at times an angel came and stirred the waters, and the first one in the pool was healed. And so this man was sitting there waiting for an angel to come and stir the waters. And Jesus came and saw him and said, "Would you be healed?" And he said, "Yes, that's why I'm here. But before, when an angel comes and stirs the waters, I have no man to help me, and somebody else always gets in the pool before I do. And so I can't get healed." And Jesus, he said, "Well, just take up your bed and walk. You don't have to wait for an angel to come. I can heal you." And so he was immediately and completely healed by the master. And he did exactly what Jesus said. He took up his bed and walked. Now, it was a Sabbath day. It was against the, you're not supposed to carry your bed on the Sabbath. And so when the Jews and the Jewish leaders saw him, they got on him for breaking the Sabbath. And the man said, "Well, the one that healed me told me to take up my bed and walk." And the Jewish leader said, "Well, who was that?" And the man said, "I don't know." Later, the man met Jesus in the temple. And Jesus said, "Now you've been healed and go and sin no more." And the man found out it was Jesus that healed him. And so he went back to the Jewish leaders and said, "It was Jesus, Jesus of Nazareth, that healed me." The Jewish leaders sought him out and, you know, accused him of breaking the Sabbath by healing on the Sabbath and teaching others to break the Sabbath by telling them to you know, carry their bed. Last week, we talked about the first part of the conversation that Jesus had with those Jewish leaders after that event. He identified himself in that conversation as the Son of God. He said that God had given him the authority to execute judgment because he was also the Son of Man, okay, and had lived as a man. And we ended last week in verse 30, where Jesus said, "I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me." So we start tonight in verse 31, where the Bible says, "If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true." Now, he wasn't saying that he was bearing false witness. He wasn't saying, "Hey, I'm not telling you the truth," or I'm telling you a falsehood. In the Greek, the meaning is real clear. And again, most of you know what Jesus was talking about. What he said was, "If I and I alone, if I witness of myself with no other witnesses, then my witness is not acceptable." It was true in not only the Jewish law, but in the Greek law and in the Roman law, that one man's witness was not enough to convict somebody of doing wrong. There had to be two, at least two, or preferably three witnesses in order to convict somebody. In fact, Deuteronomy 19:15 says, "At the mouth of two witnesses or at the mouth of three witnesses shall the matter be established." And so one witness was not sufficient even to bring charges against somebody else. And so that's what Jesus was talking about. If it's only me that's witnessing of myself, then according to the Jewish law, that's not sufficient. Because, again, it takes two or preferably three witnesses to witness against somebody. And, again, he anticipated that's what the Jewish leaders were going to say. I mean, these were probably Pharisees, experts in the law. And as he talked to them, he claimed to be the Son of God. And he was sure they were going to say, well, but you're the only one saying that. And again, according to our law, one witness is not enough to make that statement and for us to believe it as true. And so in the rest of the chapter, Jesus said, okay, I have some more witnesses. It's not just me. In fact, he calls five. The law said preferably three. He does the law two better. He said, I'll give you five witnesses that witness on my behalf, that testify on my behalf that I am the Son of God. The first one was the witness of his heavenly Father. In verse 32, there is another that beareth witness of me, and I know that that witness which he witnesses of me is true. Doesn't mention God's name here. Okay, now he will when we're going to go right down to verse 37 in just a second. But he doesn't mention God's name, but that word another points to the Father. That Greek word another is the Greek word allos, A-L-L-O-S. It means another of the same kind. And so Jesus said, there is another of the same kind that I am. And he, earlier in the conversation with these Jewish leaders, he had talked about the unity of the Father and the Son. Okay, he talked about that. We talked about that last week. And so he said, there is another like me that beareth witness of me. Look at verse 37. And the Father himself, which hath sent me, hath borne witness of me. Ye have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. Of course, we know that God the Father witnessed or testified about Jesus at his baptism when that voice came from heaven. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. But the primary, what Jesus is talking about here is not the witness where God spoke from heaven, because, you know, there were just a few people that heard that. He was talking about God's witness in the heart of believers. The witness that God gave to people that put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, that he was and is, will always be, the Son of God. Now, The Jewish leaders did not believe that. Okay, they hadn't heard God's voice from heaven. And so Jesus said, you've neither heard God's voice nor seen his shape. And again, the tense of those verbs means that you never will. You're blinded. You're deaf. Even though God the Father has witnessed of me, you haven't heard it. And you haven't seen him. In verse 38 it says, and ye have not his word abiding in you, for whom he has sent, him ye believe not. Now again, these were men that claimed to be God's spokespersons. They were experts in the law. They interpreted the law. They told people what the law said about God. And yet they were ignorant. They were ignorant. They did not know God. They did not have his word in their heart. And so they did not receive the Father's witness about his Son. But Jesus said, I'm not witnessing about myself by myself. There are others that witness about me. There are others that testify about me. One is my Father. He has testified that what I'm telling you, that I'm the Son of God, is true. Now, the second witness that Jesus brings here to this group of Jewish leaders is John the Baptist. Look at verses 33 through 35. Ye sent unto John, and he bare witness unto the truth. But I receive not testimony from man, but these things I say that ye might be saved. He was a burning and shining light, and ye were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. John the Baptist bore witness of Jesus. Behold, the Son of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. In John, earlier in John, we talked about the Sanhedrin, the Jewish leaders, that sent a delegation to John the Baptist to say, who are you talking about? Are you claiming to be the Messiah yourself? And John the Baptist told him, remember, we studied it. No, I'm not the Messiah. I'm the one that has been sent before him to prepare the way for him. And John preached baptism for the repentance of sin. He said, there's coming of one greater than I after me. I'm not even worthy to lace up his shoes. I baptize with water, but he's going to baptize with the Spirit. And so John testified of him. And many, many, many Jews heard John the Baptist preach, and they turned to Christ. They became believers in what Jesus was going to do on Calvary. And Jesus was saying to these Jewish leaders, but these things I say that ye might be saved. I'll point you back to John the Baptist. I mean, for a while, he was a bright and shining light. And for a season, you allowed him to preach. I mean, and you even sent people to find out what he was preaching about. But you did not believe his testimony. You refused to believe John the Baptist's testimony that I am the Son of God. So Jesus goes on. He says, there's another witness. Again, I have the Father as my witness. I have John the Baptist as my witness. You want three witnesses. There's two already. Let me give you another one. My works, the signs that I have done. Verse 36. But I have greater witness than that of John, for the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do, bear witness of me that the Father hath sent me. The miracles that Jesus worked. And again, John has recorded a few of them so far. The turning water into wine was the first one, the first sign. And again, the book of John was written, and the signs or the miracles in the book of John are recorded. It tells us in the last chapter that these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And so the works, the miracles, the signs, whatever you want to call them, that God gave Jesus to do, Jesus said, these testify of me. No man can do the things that I've done. No man can do that. It's only somebody that has been sent by God and is doing God's work. Now, there's greater signs coming. I mean, in the next chapter, we're going to read where Jesus fed 5,000 men, plus the women and children, with just a small lunch. In John chapter 11, we're going to read about Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. And so the signs are going to get mightier. The miracles are going to get bigger. And yet, these Jewish leaders, they rejected the signs that Jesus had done so far. And they were going to continue to reject every miracle that he did. Again, these were supposed to be men that looked at facts and made a decision. These were supposed to be men that listened to witnesses and listened to testimony and then make a decision about the matter at hand. The matter at hand is whether Jesus was the Son of God or not. These were supposed to be men that had open minds, that knew how to evaluate testimony, and could come to the right conclusion. And yet, they rejected the testimony of the Father, they rejected the testimony of John the Baptist, and they rejected the testimony of his works, of his miracles. Jesus had never done anything except good. Everything he did was good. And yet these men were blind to the miracles that he did because they willed not to see it. They made up their mind not to see what Jesus was doing. I mean, they saw it. Some of them saw it. Some of them, they just encountered a man who had been lame for 38 years. And that man said, Jesus is the one that healed me. I mean, I was waiting for an angel to stir up the water, and I never could get in. Jesus just said, take up thy bed and walk. I wouldn't be walking around carrying my bed if it wasn't for him. That was a sign. That was a miracle. And yet, rather than see the power of God, rather than see the proof of God that he was the Son of God, they got all upset about the Sabbath, about breaking the Sabbath. They refused to hear the testimony. They refused to consider the witness. All right, he says, okay, let me give you another one. You've rejected the witness of the Father. You've rejected the witness of John the Baptist. You've rejected the witness of the miracles that I've done. Let me give you another one, the witness of the Scriptures. Look at verse 39. Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. And ye will not come to me that ye might have life. I receive not honor from men, but I know you that ye have not the love of God in you. I am come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive. How can ye believe which receive honor one of another and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? Now, many in this group of Jewish leaders were Pharisees. They were experts in the Scripture. Their life was devoted to studying the Scripture. And Jesus said, search the Scripture. Now, he wasn't telling them to do that because they'd already done it. What he was saying with, you search the Scripture because you think the Scripture is what gives you eternal life. The word think is the Greek word dokko, D-O-K-C-O. It means a mistaken opinion. You have a mistaken opinion. You think that if you study the Scriptures and keep the law, you can earn eternal life. But Jesus was saying, you've missed the message of the Scriptures. You've missed what the Scriptures are saying. You've studied the Scriptures about the Messiah. I mean, there were Scriptures in the Messiah in the books of Moses, in the books of the prophets, in the books of the minor prophets, in the books of poetry, in the books of history. Everywhere in the Old Testament, there were Scriptures about the Messiah. And yet, I've come as the Messiah. I've come in the way that the Messiah is going to come. Again, now they were looking for a Messiah to set up his rule and overthrow the Roman rule. They didn't see the Messiah that Jesus came the first time as, but the Scriptures testified of him. And you've rejected. You're supposed to be the experts in the Scripture, but you're not listening to what the Scripture says. You're supposed to be the one that interprets the Scripture for other people, and yet you can't see the message for yourself. Now, he talked about honor from men. He says, I don't care if I have honor of men or not. I don't care if I have your honor or not. I'm concerned about you. He said there, I come in my Father's name. You don't receive me. My Father sent me, but you don't receive me. If another shall come in his own name. And there were people that came claiming to be the Messiah. There were false messiahs that were coming on the scene over and over and over again. Him ye will receive. These false messiahs always gathered a crowd. That's what Jesus said. How can you believe somebody that receives their honor from other men and disbelieve somebody that gets their honor from God? How can you do that? Again, you're supposed to be those that are experts in the Scripture. You're supposed to be the ones that interpret it for others. And so you've rejected the witness of the Father. You say you want three witnesses. Well, the Father witnessed about me. He testified of me, and you've rejected him. John the Baptist testified about me. You rejected him. My works testify about me. You've rejected those. The Scriptures testify of me, and you've rejected those. So he said, let me give you one more, the witness of Moses. Look at verse 45. Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuseth you, even Moses, in whom ye trust. For had ye believed Moses, ye would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if ye believe not his writings, how shall ye believe my words? Earlier in the conversation, Jesus had talked to them about judgment. He said, the Father hath given me the authority to judge. But he says, in that judgment, I will not accuse you. Now, that word accuse is the Greek word kegloriko. Means to make a public accusation as in a courtroom. Jesus said, I am not going to bring that accusation against you. Somebody else is. And that somebody else is Moses, in whom ye trust. Now, what they were trusting in Moses was the law of Moses. Hey, Moses gave us the law. God gave Moses the law. Moses gave us the law. If we keep the law, we will be saved. And so they had put their trust in Moses. Their salvation was centered in the law of Moses. And yet Jesus was saying, Moses testified of me. He wrote of me. And because he did, and because you've rejected Moses' testimony of me, Moses is going to be the one that will accuse you in the judgment. And again, we find Christ in the books of Moses over and over and over again. Pictures of him, but over and over and over again. Other Jews had found Christ in the books of Moses, but these leaders had not. Now, so Jesus said there in that last verse, so if you don't believe Moses, I mean, again, you base your salvation in the law of Moses and what Moses wrote. But if you won't believe what Moses wrote about me, I don't have any hope that you believe my words. I mean, if you don't believe Moses. So again, five witnesses. Law said you needed at least two and preferably three. Jesus says, I've given you five. But you've rejected every one of them. You've rejected the Father's testimony. You didn't accept John the Baptist. You're zealous of the Scriptures, but you don't really understand what they say. You put your hope in Moses, and yet your blindness has made it impossible to see that Moses spoke of me. And again, Jesus offered these witnesses, again, to meet the requirements of the law, but he also wanted them to understand that their rejection of him was a rejection, a multiple rejection, because they rejected everybody and everything that testified about him. The Father, John the Baptist, his works, the Scripture, and Moses. Now, John doesn't record any answer. They probably couldn't give him an answer. They were still hung up on breaking the Sabbath. They were still hung up on Jesus healing on the Sabbath. They were still hung up on this man carrying his bed on the Sabbath. They wouldn't get off of it. And because of that, I mean, again, hopefully some of these men got saved. Hopefully, you know, their eyes were opened and they received the witnesses that Jesus presented to them here. But in all probability, many of them are in hell tonight. Because they, again, men that should have known how to receive the testimony and the witness of others, and yet refused to do it. Refused to do it. You know, people are lost for the same reason today. They refuse the testimony of this book. They refuse the testimony of nature. They refuse the testimony of people in their lives that have been saved and testify of their Savior. People don't go to hell because God sends them there. They go to hell because they will to go to hell. They will. They decide to ignore all the testimony that God has put in the world today that Jesus is indeed the Son of God, our Savior. Thank you for being here tonight. We're going to stand and have a word of prayer and be dismissed.